Our scripture readings for this week are two readings out of the Old Testament law in the scriptures. Two important passages out of the book of Leviticus. So let's hear now the word tonight. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to all the congregation of the people of Israel, and say to them, 'You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. You shall each revere your mother and father, and you shall keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God.'" From Leviticus 25. "You shall count off 7 weeks of years, 7 times 7 years, so that the period of 7 weeks of years gives 49 years. Then you shall have the trumpet sounded loud on the 10th day of the 7th month, on the Day of Atonement. You shall have the trumpet sounded throughout all your land. And you shall hallow the 50th year, and you shall proclaim liberty through the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you. You shall return, every one of you, to your property and every one of you to your family. That 50th year shall be a jubilee for you. You shall not sow or reap the aftergrowth or harvest the unpruned vines, for it is a jubilee. It shall be holy to you. You shall eat only what the field itself produces. In this year of Jubilee, you shall return, every one of you, to your property. When you make a sale to your neighbor or buy from your neighbor, you shall not cheat one another. When you buy from your neighbor, you shall pay only for the number of years since the Jubilee. The seller shall charge you only for the remaining crop years." So if you are one of those adventurous Bible readers who want to try to read through the whole entire Bible, it would be my guess that you might find yourself running out of some steam somewhere around the middle of the book of Leviticus, somewhere in the middle there. It is challenging laws and more laws, stuff about the holiness of God and God's people, chapter after chapter. And there's not many books of the Bible that are harder for us to get through, I think, than Leviticus. In American Judaism, though, this chapter 19 passage that we read first in Leviticus is one of the most read and quoted chapters in the Torah, those early books in the Bible. And really, the book of Leviticus, I think, surprisingly shows us the character of God in some important ways, if we can brave our way through it a little bit. It's more likely, it's more than likely that you have heard the commandment that was referenced some in our scripture passage, that we're to remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. It said in the scripture to keep all of my Sabbaths. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. It's the fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath, keep it holy. Here in Leviticus, we see the command reiterated again. And this idea of a weekly Sabbath, it's now extended here to a Sabbath every 7 years. And then that's extended again to seven-year cycles. And then after which, there's to be a Jubilee year. Keep my Sabbaths. Plural, God says in Leviticus here. As Christians, so often it seems our reading and our kind of relationship with the Old Testament law, as we find in places like Leviticus, I think it often amounts avoiding it. Avoid it, we think. Don't think about it. It's the Old Testament law. We can kind of shrug it off a little bit. And yeah, for much of it, it seems a bit tedious and a bit rigid. And ultimately, we have a Savior who has freed us from making our own way by the law. But it might be that in shrugging it off entirely, these things that God was trying to teach the people, it may be that in avoiding these things that maybe we also lose some of the blessing that God intends for God's people. If we remember, as we find in the book of Exodus, Go back in the book of Exodus. The people of God had been enslaved. They were slaves in Egypt. Israel had to work as slaves in Egypt every day, all day, every day. They had to be productive. They had to meet this brick quota they had to meet for the Pharaoh. Every day, 7 days a week, they had to work. And God heard their cries from slavery. And so God raised up a leader from among them, and God freed them from that. God freed them from that, from slavery. God freed the people from the requirement to be productive 7 days a week. And they were brought out of Egypt. And then, as you remember, Moses went up on this mountain, and they were given the Ten Commandments, including the fourth. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. One day a week, no work. It was a gift from God. It was a gift. I'm not sure we always see it that way. We think, oh man, another thing we're supposed to do, another commandment. And instead of accepting it as a gift, I think we tend to enslave. We tend to enslave ourselves again, to bind ourselves again to this cycle that we have been freed from. It is a gift of freedom to not have to work every single day. So we could just settle into the grace of God. I think we may be missing some of the blessing of it, the gift that God intends for us. I read that in China, the polite answer to the question, how are you? The polite answer is, I'm very busy, thank you. I'm very busy. If you're very busy, then you must be fine. You must be fine. It's a sign of success. If you're busy, you're doing well. You're successful. It's something to be admired. And for many, many people, not just in China, of course, busyness is just the way of life. But for the sake of our souls, spiritually speaking, this way of life, I'm not sure we're okay. I used to have about a 40-minute drive to work when I lived in Kansas. 4 or 5 times a week, I'd make this drive. I'd have this 40-minute drive there and 40 minutes back. And I have this little Toyota hatchback that I drive. And if you know anything about them, then you know they get pretty good gas mileage. And it's usually really good on the highway, even with how I drive. It's really good. I had one time that I was on my way to work, and I had just barely left the driveway, and I hit the E. The light came on. It was empty. And I went all the way to work. I drove all the way to work on empty. I was late. I made it there. All the way to work on empty. Made it there. No problem at all. And I worked my shift, and then I got back in my car. It was midnight after my shift. Got back in my car. I didn't even think about it at all. Got in the car, and I drove all the way home. It was amazing. Amazing. That's like an hour and a half on E, on empty. And really, I think this would likely illustrate the point here a bit better had I run out of gas halfway there. But I think for some people, I know that it's kind of a game. I don't know if it's a woman thing. Maybe that's going too far. My mom does it, so that's my basis. You play a little game to see how close you can get it or how long you can run on those fumes. But I know some of you play that game. My mom does it. And there's a saying that's directed at this. It says, you know, the car runs just as well on the top half of the gas tank as it does on the bottom half, you know. And just the same, our lives run a little better when we learn to refuel a little before we're run all the way into the ground. Vance Havner wrote about our soul's need for rest, and he said, if you don't come apart for a while, then you will come apart in a while. If you don't come apart for a while, you're going to come apart in a while. And we can pride ourselves on our productivity, on how well we can keep going and keep going, but we are not made to run on empty. There was an American devotional writer named Letty Kaumann, and she wrote about how one time she visited Africa, and she was traveling all around and with guides guiding her all around and everything. And she wrote how she was really pleased with the progress of the many miles that they covered traveling on their first day. And then on the second day, though, all the guides and all the helpers that were leading the journey, they stopped, and they refused to move at all, refused to move. And she became frustrated and asked the leader of the hired hands why they wouldn't just get up and continue the journey. And the leader told her that on the first day, they had traveled too far, too fast. And he said that now they were waiting for their souls to catch up with their bodies. Waiting for their souls to catch up with their bodies. And whether we like it or not, I think we can get like that. We've gone too far, too fast. We need this time, this space for our souls to catch up with our bodies. Even the creator of the whole world took a rest on the seventh day. And that same creator urges us to take a moment, catch our breath, renew our souls. I read a book about a family's experiment with Sabbath. And life was crazy with this family. Time goes by so fast. Years go by, and kids grow up if you blink. And so the family decided, we have to do something. We have to do something. And on a whim, one of the parents, they said, as if it was some kind of new idea, they said, what about Sabbath? What about Sabbath? What if we tried Sabbath? At our spiritual retreat a couple years ago, we covered material from this book, and we read about how we can try to be faithful as busy families with kids running around here and there all the time. It's hard. And a whole day of rest, I think it would be a gift for all of us. But sometimes I think it just seems next to impossible. In that family's experiment with Sabbath, sometimes with the reality of life as it is, sometimes they had to break it up over multiple days, a couple hours here, a couple hours there. She talked about how if you can't do a day, then set aside a portion of time, just a portion of time. Maybe we can do that. Start there. And if you can't do a day, just set aside a portion. She talked about these different Sabbath practices, a five-minute Sabbath. Maybe we can do a five-minute, maybe a one-minute Sabbath. Maybe we can do that. Start there. Just a period of time of rest, of just joy, just God, no work. We can do that. Just stop, rest, not do anything except to do anything that we enjoy, things you enjoy. Amazingly, this living into this rest, this joy, amazingly, this is our God's intention for us. This rest, this joy. Amazingly, this is God's intention for our lives. It is God's intention for us that we be free of the chains of working, always working. We have been free to be free for joy, for rest, for life abundant, even more. Even more, this is God's gift for us. And the grace that we've been given in Jesus Christ. In Christ, we have been freed from the cycle of our works. We've been freed from the cycle of works. Our identity has been sealed in Jesus Christ. Our worth has already been established in Christ. There is nothing that we can do to make God love us more. Nothing we can do to make God love us less. Our significance has already been established. It's about who we are in Christ, not about what we do. And we can rest in that knowledge of God's love, live in that joy and that goodness and life abundant, and trusting that as Barbara Brown Taylor said, that even if you spent a whole day being good for nothing, you would still be precious in God's sight. So just for a bit, let the work sit. Let the laundry sit. Let the leaves stay unraked. Let the bills sit unpaid on the desk. And just be. Just rest in who you are in God's love. Just being is as important as doing. Brian McLaren told a story once in one of his books about a guy named Dieter Zander, who was at one time a kind of big-name celebrity youth minister, really popular, dynamic speaker, and he seemed to be everywhere. And then Dieter, he had a stroke sometime in his early 40s, and he's now a janitor. And Brian went to visit him sometime after his stroke, and Dieter told him at that visit, he said in his now broken way of speaking, he said, "Before stroke, I working for God, German man, working. And then he smiled and he said, "Now I play with God, playing much better," he said, "playing much better." And this is God's intention for us, God's gift for us. Our worth has already been established without any of our efforts. And God is calling us now as God's people into that joy of Christ, calling us to rest in God's presence and who we are in Christ, and enter now into the joy and life abundant. Amen.